Yeah, it's good to be back around people in recovery. I consider this a safe place, and for those of us who are trying to treat our illness, trying to change the way that we perceive life and the way that we filter life, it's good to be around other people that are not judgmental, that are not condemning, that understand the struggle that people in recovery have, especially early in recovery. And it's just good to kind of be home. You know, in the program it talks about welcome home to the last house on the block. And here we are. So it's good to be with you. It's nice to just be here and kind of feel the energy in the room, you know, when they're singing and everybody's kind of in that zone. And I like Jeff's description of Dave's message, you know, the creeper message. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I've never heard it quite put like that. I was thinking when he said that, how God has a good sense of humor and how it's come full circle for me. I've been in recovery for quite a few years, and the first time I ever smoked pot in my life, I was on the back of a church bus, and I was raised around the church, and you know, I was one of those kids that was always mischievous, you know what I mean, and always had to kind of go where it said not to go. If it, you know, if it said keep off the grass, and you know, I was dancing on the grass, or if it said, you know, don't talk, I talk, don't smoke, I smoke, whatever, you know what I'm saying. So it's I was thinking about what a great sense of humor. Here I am sitting in church, and that's where my journey to addiction and despair even started. And the difference now is I have a relationship with the God of my understanding through His Son Christ, and anything good that's happened in my life. And you know what? I've got a lot of good things tonight I'm grateful for. Sunday was my daughter's 27th birthday, my pregnant daughter. And it's a miracle. And she found out it's a baby girl. And I'm excited. They had a few names picked out, and we were there at their house on Mother's Day with my side of the family and my wife's or my daughter's husband's side of the family. They're the crazy ones. And, you know, we were with them all day long, and it felt like a very long day. But you know what? We got through it. We were sitting at their house that night, and my daughter Lindsay had bought these, I don't know if you've seen them, they're kind of like earphones, but they're plugs for the baby. You can, like, put them on your stomach and let the baby listen to music. And, you can't believe it or not, they're like these suction cup things. And so she put on, the baby was listening to Bob Dylan. And when started playing Bob Dylan, for the first time, the baby, like, rolled. And you could see it in her stomach. And that was one of the names that she had was trying to pick out. She had four names, I think, and one of them was Dylan. So when started listening to Bob Dylan, I said, hey, the baby chose her own name. So more than likely, she's going to name her Dylan. I love that. So, and those, you know, those little things, that's the real deal. You know, that's what recovery and sobriety are all about, that I never thought I would have a marriage. I never thought I would have, a daughter, surely not a granddaughter. And, you know, the recovery is about hope. There's a lot of hope in this room. And thank you for giving me hope when I can show up here. And, you know, my head kind of straightens out when I get here because I see other people doing the deal. And, you know, this is about tonight, just a couple of things real quick, and we'll get you a break and then have the meeting. But I just want to throw out a couple of tools that you might put in your spiritual toolbox, is the way the book refers to it. I got this email last week from my wife, and I wanted to read this. I thought it kind of fit with what I'm going to talk about for a minute. And by the way, before I read this, if it offends you, you got a sponsor. Talk to your sponsor afterwards. My opinion does not necessarily represent the opinion of the effect, okay? But I got a kick out of it. It says, all women should live as long as to be this kind of old lady. Toward the end of a Sunday service, the minister asks, how many of you have forgiven your enemies? 80% of the people held up their hands. The minister then repeated his question. All responded this time except one small elderly lady. Mrs. Neely, are you not willing to forgive your enemies? I don't have any, she replied, smiling sweetly. Mrs. Neely, that's very unusual. How old are you? 98, she replied. oh, Mrs. Neely, would you please come down in front and tell us all how a person can live 98 years and not have an enemy in the world? The little sweetheart of a lady tottered down the aisle, faced the congregation, and said, I outlived the bitches. Yeah, and you know, I'm not going to rely on, I don't know if I'll live to be 98. I'm not going to rely on that, okay? I'm 54, and I think I better use the tools of recovery, but I just thought that was pretty humorous. My grandmother lived to be 94, but anyway, that's a tool you can try if you want to. But tonight I just want to throw out four things, and maybe something tonight will make sense. It's a tool that you can put in your spiritual toolbox so that when you're faced with life out there, you know, in your job, in your relationships, you know, all the things that we face, that there's going to be times throughout every minute of every day that you and I use tools, you know, spiritual tools. For me, that's been the hope in recovery, is that you, people like yourself, in conversation and interacting, I pick up things that people say and I put them in my toolbox. You know how you hear those things, you go, oh, that makes sense. You go to meetings, you hear things, that makes sense. And I put it in my spiritual toolbox. And the hope is, in those moments where I'm in conflict with my wife, or I'm in conflict with my boss, or I've got a decision to make, and I'm not sure which way to go, I can open up my spiritual toolbox and use the tools that I've gotten along the way. And so I really encourage you, just for a few minutes, let's just kind of open our minds and open our spiritual toolbox and see what might be put in there tonight. Let's just, if you don't mind, just a moment of silence, kind of clear your head, and maybe just kind of hold your hands out in front of you, like open to receive what God has for you and what you need tonight. God, we're here, and we realize that we are here, we're breathing, we're alive because of your grace and your mercy. That for whatever reason, you have spared our lives. You have given us the opportunity to continue to live, and not only live, but to experience love from you, love from others, and to love ourselves. And we're grateful for that tonight. I pray for the person here that's struggling, that's like right there and not sure which way to go. I pray that you would just reach out and love and draw them close. And may those of us who have your love in our hearts share that with other people tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the group of people here that are trying to do what's right. We receive your love. We receive your forgiveness. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read something out of page 58 in the big book. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They're unfortunates. They're not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They're naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Skip down. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. Hopefully, what we're like now is different than what we used to be like. That's kind of the hope. The goal is not just to be sober, but to be restored to sanity, so that when I'm around my family or my friends, that I'm not like I used to be, okay? And that I'm not as self-centered, that I'm more tolerant, that I have more love, that I don't overreact. Or when it's time to react, that I do react rather than sit on my butt and do nothing. That's kind of what the goal of recovery is, that what we're like now. If you decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. We've all tried that. Remember that we deal with alcohol or drugs, whatever your destructive behavior is. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it's too much for us. And I know there's, you know, I know that tonight I can just feel sitting here that there's a lot of people, or not a lot, there's some people that feel like maybe the burden that you're carrying is just too much. You know, you can't, with everything that's going on, you get sober, and with that comes the realization a lot of times, especially at first, how you really have screwed things up. I remember that, like that awakening, going, man, I have... Because when I was out doing my deal, I just kept doing my deal. I didn't stop and think. I just kept, like that tornado, I just kept blowing. And as long as I'm blowing, I didn't. But when I stopped, got sober, then it started to hit me. The damage that I had done, you know, in other people's lives. And sometimes that got very overwhelming at the beginning. And I really didn't know if I could do it. Legal problems, you know, relationship problems, social problems, mental problems. I mean, everything that comes with substance abuse. Without help, it's too much for us. But thank goodness it doesn't stop there. But there is one, in the capital O, one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We ask his protection and care with complete abandon. And the reason I read that is because to me that's hope, that regardless of what you're struggling with or what may seem overwhelming to you, there is hope. We're here struggling with addiction. We're here taking this thing seriously, trying to make some changes. And the reality is, without the power of God, it's not going to happen on a long-term basis. You know, a lot of us are pretty disciplined. I white-knuckled for 10 years. I didn't work a program. I just stopped drinking and using the first 10 years of my marriage. And, you know, it wasn't pretty. And I thought I was doing the right thing by just not using drugs or alcohol or stealing or doing the things I used to do. But you know what? I was miserable inside. And that's where the whole idea of being restored to sanity, that really is the goal. If you're not feeling sane, you know, the connection there is God. One tool I want to throw out to you, and if you need to put this in your toolbox, great. If you already have this, then it's for someone else. But what you and I do in recovery now, we've got a lot of work to do. There are steps. We've got a mess to clean up. You know? We have a mess to clean up. We're faced with problems, and we need to know how to deal with those problems and not avoid them. I don't know about you. I'm like the king avoider. Okay? Anybody else relate to that? Or if you're an avoider, I avoid conflict if possible. I avoid, you know, returning bill collectors. I avoid their phone calls. I just anything that to me seems like stressful or there's a fear involved, I like to avoid it. And one of the tools that helps me face my problems and not avoid them, and I don't always do this, but it's a good tool to use, it's called delayed gratification. Now that's just opposite of the way you and I lived our life when we were abusing substances or involved in a destructive behavior. What's the opposite of delayed gratification? Instant gratification. You know, that thing inside that clicks and you go, you know, this is what I want. There's no impulse control. You don't think it through. You just impulsively, instant gratification. This is what the feeling that's starting to come up. I don't like that. And I know how to numb that feeling. And boom, I'm going to take care of that now. One of the tools that you and I learned to use is delayed gratification. And that's a tough one. Delayed gratification. The thing that's tough about delayed gratification is there's time involved. We don't like to wait. You know what I'm saying? And recovery is a process. And you know a lot of people, and I myself, I've bailed out of the steps before trying to go through the steps. It's like, my God, man, come on. How long is this going to take? You know? I've been doing this thing for darn near a year. What the heck? And patience. Because in that, we learn to breathe. You know, we're in those situations, whether it's someone says something and we feel the need to react, or whether it's something that you know you want, even though it's probably not the best choice in the world, you want it and you're not willing to wait. Delayed gratification is a tool that I pull out of my toolbox in those moments. And I'm willing to do my part in solving problems, but I do my part and then I leave the results up to God. And that's really the challenge. That's what I want to throw out to you first and foremost, is leaving the results up to God. Because, you know, I don't know, again, we start cleaning up the mess. We go, whether it's your parents or whether it's your spouse, whether your siblings, whoever it is, we have this when we get sober and we realize, especially as Christians, or we make this connection with God, we have a spiritual awakening, and we want to get on the phone and clean everything up. And we want to do it right now. And even though I'm still in step one, it's not quite time yet. Okay, we don't deal with that until like step 8 and 9. You know, then first thing we do is we connect with God. That's the first 3 steps. That's first and foremost, because that's where our hope, our power comes from. Once we've connected with God, then we take personal responsibility. We look at ourselves, steps 4 through 7. Okay? Once we've connected with God, we've gotten clean, we've taken inventory, and we're honest with ourselves, then we start making a list of people that we need to go clean up the mess. Once we've connected with God, once we're honest with ourselves, then we start that process. You get it? God, self, others. It's not okay, I'm sober now, I'm going to get on the phone because I want her back and say I'm sorry and I'm going to, you know, and we make the phone call. You know what I mean? And you know, we lose focus because that connection that is powerful and we want that back and we want it now. See, the thing that's challenging in recovery is learning that tool, delayed gratification. I need to do my part tonight and let go of the results. That's when I learn to breathe. And I quit pushing for my way, quit pushing for my control over the situation. If you feel like you're pushing against something tonight, things are not turning out or things are unfolding it fast enough or your way, maybe it's because that's not what God's plan is for us. If I push through and make it happen, because I'm a pretty good manipulator, I'm pretty good at getting what I want. But if I manipulate to get what I want, I don't know if that's my manipulation or if that's God. And I know in the past when it hasn't been God and it's been my manipulation, I know the end of that movie. I've seen it before. And it doesn't turn out pretty. So whatever you're pushing for, you know, and it's not happening fast enough, probably that's a sign we need to take a deep breath and leave the results up to God. And I know that's why you need the power of the fellowship of people around you, because it involves time. It involves breathing. It involves patience. There's a scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good." Now see, I like that part. Because see, I don't know about you, every day at the end of the day, I think I should get a gold star for doing good. You know, like I got on my knees this morning, I did my devotion, I didn't drink all day, I didn't smoke pot all day, I didn't do drugs, I didn't sleep with anyone's wife, I didn't steal from work, you know, I didn't run over that pedestrian in front of me that stepped right out. I mean, and I made all these decisions that were tough that were good. So I'm proud of myself. Because there was a time when, no, that's not what I did. I'd get up, I'd get high, I'd do whatever I wanted, and you know, that's just the way it was. So at the end of the day now, I walk in my house and I expect the band to be playing and confetti to be down and, you know, hey, he's here, the man of the day. He did good all day long, and get a reward for that. And thank God for my wife that I've been married to for 30 years. She keeps me really grounded in reality, because I'll come home and give her the list of all the good things I've done. She goes, "So what? That's what you're supposed to do." See, in her mind, her first thought is good. That's her first thought. Now, see, I don't know about you. My first thought, I'm not going to share that with you. My second thought is now, it's good. You know what I'm saying? I don't act on that first thought anymore. because of delayed gratification. But sometimes the thought is still there. Usually it's the second thought, sometimes even the third thought, that's good. And I know enough now that first thought, if I'm walking through a parking lot and I notice that there's a door unlocked, my first thought is, I can get in that car. Now, my wife doesn't think that. My wife thinks, let's find the security and tell him that car's unlocked. What are you talking about? Let's see what's in that purse in the car. First thought, I don't do it anymore, but that's the first thought. Second thought is, you're right, we should contact security. Now, that's against everything that I used to, you understand what I'm saying? So the first thought, I don't act on that anymore, unless it's good. Delayed gratification gives me an opportunity to have that thought, not beat myself up, take a deep breath, and then when that right thought comes, to act on that. Okay? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You hear this in meetings every day. It's called the promises will come true. You've heard that, haven't you? And you know, people who've stuck around here long enough, like myself, I have a granddaughter on the way. To me, that's part of reaping the harvest of being sober for a long, long time and being around the program for a long, long time. It's nothing about me. I'm a recovering addict. I'm self-centered, egotistical, blah, blah, blah. But if I stick around here and I don't get tired of doing good, bless you, I know that in God's time, I will experience the promises that He has made to me. And you know, whatever you're going through tonight, I know it's not fast enough. I know the solution, it's just not there yet, maybe. And it seems like forever. But you know, if we don't give up, that's why people come here and you pray, you worship, we gather strength because you know what? We get weary in doing good. For some of us, doing good is hard work. And I have to raise my hand. Doing good is hard work. For my wife, who's the normie, not hard work, it's just what she does. For me, it's hard work. This verse, I believe, was written to recovering people. Let us not become weary in doing the steps and staying sober one day at a time. See, a lot of people don't understand how hard that is just to get through one day without self-destructing. Thank goodness Jesus understands that. Amen. You know, He's not upset He's not mad because we're not just zipping through the day singing hallelujah all day long. He understands, let us not become weary in doing good. It's hard work. That's why the power of the fellowship of this program is so important. I come here and I connect with you. I feel your love. I feel your acceptance. I feel your hope. And all of a sudden that weariness becomes smaller. And it's like, okay, I can make it through the rest of this day. Because God shows up through you. Through meetings. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, whose time is that? God's. You know, His is always too slow. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's too slow. In the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Last one, and then we'll be through. The other tool is very simple. Not easy, but very simple. Personal responsibility. Think about that one just for a second. Personal responsibility. Personal implies me. One of the shifts in our perspective in recovery is that I quit looking at you to fulfill me. I quit looking to you to blame for why my life is so miserable or whatever it is I'm going through. And I look back now and I take personal responsibility for my life. I take responsibility for my part in whatever. And I stop blaming and I stop avoiding. Man, I blamed people for a long time. I blamed my parents for a long time. I blamed my spouse for a long time. I blamed the church for a long time. And what it did, it had power over me. The freedom now is I can take personal responsibility for my part. That's a tool to put in your toolbox when you're confronted with a thought or confronted with the reality of a situation. You look at it and say, what is my part in this? Now that's a different way of thinking. Rather than my first thought is USOV. That's the first thought. Second thought is, wait a minute, what's my part in this? You know, how did I set this up? How did I contribute to this tension? Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 says, each one should test his own actions. I know the codependent people in here are going up a wall right now. You know the enablers? got pretty quiet in here, didn't it? Yeah. No, they're at other meetings praying for you, praying for us. Each one should test his own actions. See, my recovery is my personal responsibility. It's not my wife's responsibility. It's not my sponsor's responsibility. It's mine. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. Stop right there for a second. Now, Jeff and I were talking earlier, and it's so easy for me to see certain people or look at certain people's lives and compare myself to them. And one of two things happen. I don't know about for you, but for me, I can find someone that's really doing lousy, you know, and I can compare myself to them and go, you know what? What I'm doing ain't that bad. Which doesn't serve me too well. It feeds my ego, and then I'm headed for trouble. And if I find someone that's like, I look up, go, wow, I want to be like them, then I'm setting myself up for total disappointment and letdown. Because they have clay feet. They put their pants on just like I do. So whoever you're comparing yourself to tonight, the freedom is in recovery. I don't have to compare myself to anybody. There's freedom in that. Because I'm responsible for my own recovery. And I'm responsible for myself. I can take pride in myself without comparing myself to anybody else. For each one should carry his own load. Whew. You know, at the end of the day, when you finish here and you go and you shower, whatever you do, and get ready, you can look at yourself in the mirror knowing, you know what? I did the best I could do today. I carried my own load. I'm reaching out. I'm helping others. I'm connected with God. I'm being honest with myself. I'm reaching out to other people. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. I'm going to stop there and just kind of close. Because Jeff was telling me that the meetings now are just fantastic. And I'm so glad that this is just a small part of what happens here. That the real power of the fellowship happens after this when people sit and connect in your pain. Because the thing that you and I have in common here is the hope of God. That's what we leave with. Is regardless of how bad or how good our situation is tonight, at any moment, at any time, we can hit our knees, we can ask forgiveness, we can cry out to God, and He embraces us regardless of what we've done or what we're thinking. Or what we're going to do, or whatever it is. And we can start brand new, and we can live through His power. And the key is tonight, leave the results up to God. Just do what's right. And that is hard work for us. You need both. You need to be balanced. You need to be reaching out to someone that's struggling more than you, and you need to be reaching, holding on to someone who's doing better than you. Okay? And that's the balance in recovery. If I'm just holding on to someone who's better than me, then I'm just selfish. I'm just hanging on. I just want my. And if I'm just helping the newcomer and not, I'm not having any power. Pretty soon, I may go down with him. We've seen that happen a lot. You know, I want to hang on to somebody, and then I want to help somebody, and that's the key. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you just for. The message that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia that they were struggling with some life issues like we are, and that you encouraged them to not become weary in doing good. that you promise us that at your timing, we will experience the promises and we will reap a harvest. And I just pray for those of us that are impatient, that we could just breathe and we could truly let go and leave the results up to you, knowing that you have our best interest in mind. I also thank you for the hope that we can, each one of us, take responsibility tonight for ourselves, and we do not have to compare ourselves with anyone else. That you love us for who we are. Thank you for that message. Thank you for that freedom. Again, we open our hearts to receive your love. We receive your forgiveness. We receive your hope. We pray this prayer because we believe you not only hear this prayer, but that you answer this prayer. We believe that. Thank you for the newcomers that are in this room. May everyone here experience the love from you and from another person. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.